Well, thank you, Brother Ray. Y'all may be seated. It is an honor and a blessing to be here, and it is great to see a lot of faces I didn't see last time, though, so it's really cool. But I want to just get into our study this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And as you're turning there, I just want to just mention that not every psalm is written for a calm situation. Psalm 46 was written for those who are in the chaos. It's written for those who are living in the storm, for those who are living within the noise that they can't hear God anymore. This is a psalm. It's for the believer whose life just keeps crashing in. Wave after wave after wave. It's for the Christian who is anxious. They can't keep their mind from running and stop racing. And it's not for those who fear the worst. It's for those who are living their worst fears now. It's for those who feel like the world, their world, is falling apart. Externally and internally are both. And maybe that's you today. I don't know. Maybe no one else can see it, but inside it feels like the mountains are shaking, the waters are rising, and maybe you've been asking, where is God in all of this? Is he near? Does he care? Well, Psalm 46 offers us hope. It doesn't give us cliches. It doesn't pretend that trouble isn't real. It gives us something better. That God is our refuge. He is our strength and a very present help in our troubles. He's not a God who's far away. He's not a God who waits for us to figure it out. He's a very present help right now, right here. And he's in the middle of it all. So this morning, if you're overwhelmed, if you're anxious, if you're walking through a storm, this psalm is for you. And this morning, God is inviting you to get the noise out of your life so you can hear his voice again and again. And we don't get the noise out just so we can get out of the chaos. We want to anchor our heart in who God is. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for the worship this morning. Thank you for Michael and Luann, and Lord, for them leading us, Father, into your presence through singing. How glorious it is, Lord, that we could sing that you are truly a mighty fortress, a bulwark never failing. And you, Lord, are amid you personally, the flood that which we live in. We are so blessed, Father, because you love us and you've given your son for us, Lord. And we are thankful that we can open your word without the fear of people breaking the doors down and arresting us, taking us away, persecuting us, Lord, for our faith. So we thank you for the country in which we live in. But Lord, but I am reminded of our brothers and sisters who don't have this freedom, who are worshiping you in secret and in fear. Lord, would you be near to them today? Would you encourage them? I think of those, Lord, who don't have a complete copy of your word, your holy scriptures. How blessed we are, Lord. We have Bibles that are actually under our pews right now. But Lord, we know there are people who don't have the scriptures. So I just pray, Lord, that you would get your word into the hands of your people around the world. Well, Lord, but I do want to pray for us today. I pray, Lord, that you would be in the midst of us. Holy Spirit, come, comfort us, convict us. Open our ears, give us a heart that is pliable. May you be glorified. And Lord, I pray for myself. I pray, Lord, that you would keep me from saying things that are inappropriate. But Lord, but the words that I speak, Lord, were first preached to my heart first. And into your people. We love you, and we know you love us, and we pray all these things in Christ's name. Psalm 46, verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth a song. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. And he burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, his perfect word. Friends, imagine this. Your nation is in crisis. Socially, politically, and spiritually, there's a deadly epidemic sweeping through the land and claiming countless lives. Every day, people are dying. Your home has become a makeshift hospital, a place where you are helplessly watching your loved ones and close friends die. Your one-year-old son nearly dies as well. Your wife is pregnant with your second child. Meanwhile, your own health is deteriorating. You suffer from heart problems. You have intestinal pain so severe that it leaves you debilitated. What do you do? Well, if your name is Martin Luther, you turn to Psalm 46. And you find your strength in God's word. You meditate on his unshakable character. And Martin Luther, from the place of that suffering, he would pen one of the greatest church hymns ever. And we sang it this morning, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." When Luther wrote this song, he wrote it from the depths of despair. He once said that, "I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain, and today I still tremble at the thought of it. I was completely abandoned by Christ. I labored on the vacillations and the storms of desperation and blasphemy against God. And though he felt forsaken, he knew the truth is that Christ never left him. It was Christ alone who sustained him. It was Christ who held him through the chaos. It was Christ who carried him through the fire. And it's no wonder the opening lines of that song are, "A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Christ is in the midst of our trials and pain. And he is our strong tower, our bulwark, and our fortress." And Luther's story reminds us that the truths found in Psalm 46, they are timeless. They're for us today. But historically, we need to understand that this psalm is most likely recalling a time in the history of Israel. The northern tribe had already been taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and the southern tribe, Judah, was now facing a similar problem. They were being, I would say, they had a siege of Jerusalem. The Syrian army, under the leadership of King Sennacherib in 701 BC, he was literally crushing nation after nation in the Judean area. He was being used, the Syrian army was being used by the divine providence of God to punish his people. And Jerusalem was next. Jerusalem was in the crosshairs of the Syrian army. And what did Judah do? What did King Hezekiah do? Guess what? He turned to man. He turned to the Egyptians. He thought that they were strong because they had more chariots. They had more soldiers. They had more horsemen. So he turned to them and didn't turn to God. God says, "Woe to this rebellious children," declares the Lord in Isaiah 30, verse 1. "You execute a plan, but it's not my plan. You make an alliance, but not with my spirit. You proceed down to Egypt without consulting me. You're taking refuge in Pharaoh, and you're seeking shelter in the shadow of Egypt." Chapter 31, God goes on and says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. You rely on horses. You trust in chariots because they are many. And you trust in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor do they seek God." Man, Jerusalem at this time was in trouble. They were surrounded by 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. They were at the doorsteps. They were at the gates of Jerusalem, and they were about to be destroyed. They were trapped. There was no escape. There was no hope in sight. The whole city was surrounded. And Hezekiah finally came to his senses. And he goes to Isaiah, and he cries out, and he prays to God. And this is his prayer. "O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and listen to all the words of Sennacherib. He has sent them to reproach you, the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods. They were made and worked by the work of men's hands. They were made out of wood and stone, and they've been destroyed. Now, O Lord God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God." That was his prayer. And God responds. He responds with power. He would punish the pride and the arrogance of that Syrian king. And in a single night, the angel of the Lord will destroy 185 of the Assyrian soldiers, wipe them out. And the next morning, when the people of Judah walked out, all they found were dead bodies, because the Lord was their refuge. The Lord was their strength. The Lord was a very, very present help in the midst of their trouble. And this wasn't just a victory for that generation. It was a declaration for all times, as Hezekiah's prayer was, "Lord, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God." You see, God keeps his promises. He defends his name. And he will not let his people be destroyed. God keeps his promises. He defends his name. And he will not let his people be destroyed. I remember one of my Bible professors used to say, when people would ask him, "Prove to me that there is a God." And he would say, show me a map of the world, and I'll show you a little sliver, a piece of land. And that little sliver says Israel. For God will not let his people be destroyed. So with everything around us, when it seems impossible, when the world is pressing in, when troubles start to multiply and we have no strength at all, Psalm 46 reminds us that God is our fortress. He is our deliverer. And he is the one who would turn our hopeless situations into testimonies of his great power and faithfulness. So this psalm, it's broken down into three stanzas. In fact, it says, this is a song. And there's three stanzas. And this morning, we're just going to talk about the first stanza. But I just want us to kind of get a picture of the whole psalm here. So the first stanza is found in verses 1 through 3. It's portraying God. He's powerful over nature. Right? The earth is trembling. The mountains fall into the sea. Creation itself seems to just go into chaos. Yet in all of this destruction, it's saying that God remains faithful. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's unshaken. And it shows that God's protection has no boundaries. God's protection is limitless. God's protection never fails. In the second stanza, it's verses 4 through 7. If you're looking down, it shifts now to a city under siege. The enemies are many and mighty, and they have surrounded this city like a flood. But within the city, there's peace because God is in the midst of her, and his presence protects his people. In this sense, we see God's power has no rival. And the third stanza is verses 8 through 11, and it brings us to the conquest. The fight is over. The war is done. And it's a sobering vision of God's total victory over warring nations of the world. But it's a celebration of his unmatched authority and justice. And here we see God's preeminence will never end. So together, these three stanzas declare that God is powerful over nature, over the nations, and over all the earth. But today we're going to focus on one thing. We're going to focus on God's protection. His protection has no boundaries. His protection has no limits. His protection never fails. And no matter what we face, God is always our safe place and our strength. He is our refuge, our strength, and an ever very present help in our time of need. That is who he is, and that's what the psalm is teaching us this morning. But before I go any further, I just want to speak very plainly to you about a dangerous false teaching. It's called the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel teaches that you can name it and claim it. That if you have enough faith, you will be healthy, wealthy, and everything will go smoothly. Well, I'm telling you, that is not the gospel. That is a lie. Because the gospel is found in Christ alone. In faith alone. By grace alone. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that teaching is so deadly because it misrepresents who God really is. You got to have enough faith so God will keep you from suffering. He will give you health. He will give you wealth. You'll be free of pain. And I know it sounds appealing, but it's simply not true. It's a lie. It focuses off who God is, the triune God. And it focuses on you, that you can conjure up enough faith to get through life. Faith comes from God. It's a gift from God. It's not good news. It's bad news. Because we know that our righteousness is but filthy rags. So Psalm 46, I just want to make you aware, he does not promise that we will be shielded from every hardship. Instead, it shows that when the earth shakes, when the mountains fall into the sea, when the nations rage, and when wars break out. God is with his people always. He is our refuge, he is our strength, and our help in trouble. He's not our escape from it. And the Bible, friends, never promises that we'll have a trouble-free life. The Bible never promises that. And we can see that in Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, we call it. We see all these great saints, these righteous people who lived before. They weren't weak Christians. They were the faithful. They endured hunger, torture, persecution, homelessness, and even death. And today, in Hebrews 12, it says that they stand in heaven as a great cloud of witnesses. And their faithfulness proclaims that he is faithful, that God keeps his word. Therefore, we are fixed our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the witnesses in heaven, the ones who've gone before us, who have suffered greatly, are saying, you can do it because he's done it already. Trust in him. We made it, so can you. So friends, let's be honest. When airplanes crash, when there's car crashes, Christians can be on board. Being a Christian does not take us out of the game of life and suffering. When wars break out, believers suffer too. Disease and illnesses doesn't discriminate based on faith. Cancer, tragedy, grief visits the righteous and the unrighteous alike. So here's the question I have to ask you. And the question isn't, will I face hardship? Will I face hardship? That's not the question. The real question is this. What will I do when it comes? Will I run to my refuge? Will I run to my God? Or will I run away? Or be like King Hezekiah before he came to his senses? You would trust in your own resources. It just reminds me of, I just want to thank you, Michael and Luann, for singing Mighty Fortress Is Our God and Solid Rock. Oh man, my heart was just bursting. And then you sang the other song, I think it's called Psalm 62. I never heard it before. That was an awesome song. I felt like, oh, I don't need to preach now. That was the message. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate that. But there's a modern song. And I'm a country guy, so you guys are getting to know me. So I love country music. So when this song came out, it really just impacted me. And it's like a modern day Martin Luther song, but with not as deep lyrics, of course. But this is the song. It reminds me of what we're talking about. It's called Through the Fire. And it goes, and this is the chorus. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said, help will always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I love that chorus, and it brings me comfort because I know he says the cross, it's going to be heavy. The road's going to be hard, but I am with you. I will get you through. And I know this is a truth that we say, oh yeah, I know that. But it's deeper than that. And like Martin Luther said that he would turn to Psalm 46, constantly. He would turn to Psalm 46 during his darkest times. It is said that he would call his friend Philip Melanchthon, and he would say, "Let's sing. The world is coming in again. Let's sing Psalm 46 and let them do the worst." God doesn't always remove the storm, but he promises to be with us in the midst of it. So again, let's just walk through verse 1 together. There are three truths about God. He is our refuge, he is our strength, and a very present help in trouble. And I pray that these will anchor in your heart today, no matter what you're facing. The first is, God's protection has no boundaries. His protection is limitless. His protection never fails. Why? Because God, it says, is our refuge. Notice, it doesn't say God provides a refuge. It says he is our refuge. He himself is our shelter. He is our fortress. And he's not just giving us a hiding place. He is the place. We don't run to a thing. We stand in a person. When the world shakes, he surrounds us. When fear creeps in, he draws us under his wings. When we don't know what's next, he is still holding us. You see, the security we have in God isn't found in our circumstances or our experiences. I'll repeat that. The security we have in God isn't found in our circumstances or our experiences. It's found in who God is. It's found in his character. And this truth is woven throughout all the Bible. First thing we see about God's character is God's character is unchanging. He is immutable. His immutable attribute. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." The Lord does not change. "Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever." And my friends, our circumstances constantly change. Our health can fail. Our relationships can be destroyed. The economy can collapse. But God remains constant. And that's what the writer of Psalms is saying. God is our refuge. He remains constant. And our security needs to be rooted in that truth. His character is unchanging. And he isn't influenced by any outside movement or outside circumstances like me. I am moved left and right all the time. I am constantly being impacted by my surroundings, by my environment. And I want you guys to really know me. So I just want to tell you how pathetic I am. This morning when I get up in the morning, I look at my phone and it shows that the Giants lost again. I get depressed. I'm like, ah. And it's not until I come to my senses and realize, I don't get anything out of this. I don't get their money. I mean, why am I upset? But we do. When the Niners lose, I get mad. I get distracted. I get upset. And you see, I change based on my environment and my circumstances. God never changes. I wake up in the morning and I see that my sons didn't do what I told them to do the night before. And I get a little grumpy. This is hypothetical. It's not true. Right, guys? They always do it. I know, right? Or maybe you're at work and you've been working on a project for weeks, months, maybe years. And they say, we're going to shelve that. We're not going to do that. What happens to your heart when there's pain involved? Well, God's character, God is faithful even when life is painful. We need to remember that. God is faithful even when life is painful. Lamentations 3:22 to 23 says this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You know, the prophet Jeremiah wrote those words in the midst of the destruction of Jerusalem. His circumstances were horrific. Can you just imagine your country being destroyed? But his confidence was in the faithful, merciful character of God. You see, God is our refuge, not our environment, not our situations, our circumstances. Our safety, peace, and hope come from who God is, not from how calm, how stable, or how comfortable my surroundings are. In other words, my friends, your refuge is not in a quiet life. Your refuge is not in a healthy body or a stable income. Your refuge is not in your success. Your refuge is also not found in the absence of conflict, in the absence of illness, or the absence of danger. The psalm is telling us that our refuge is in God Himself, His presence, His promises, His power, and His character. That's where His promises are, and that's where it lays. He is everything. His presence, His promises, His power, and His character. And if you look back down on verse 1, it doesn't say our home is our refuge. It doesn't say our 401k is our refuge. Our bank account is our refuge. But sometimes when things get a little scary, don't we look at those things? Like our home is our refuge. Our bank account is our refuge. We do that, don't we? Our text is saying God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So when chaos hits, our instinct should not be that we run, that we trust in our surroundings, are things that we have, but we run to Him. Remember that He is our fortress. And I just want to hit on this some more. Our environment can change, but God cannot. Think about this. We can live in a peaceful neighborhood today, and tomorrow can just be turned upside down. We live in Morgan Hill. We live like in this little country road. It is so peaceful. We don't lock our doors. We don't lock our truck doors, our car doors. We just live like no big deal. But 2 years ago, there was a young man who got shot right on our corner by a drive-by shooting. Man, my neighborhood got turned upside down. I didn't want my boys going outside for a while. Today, you can feel emotionally secure. You can feel so strong emotionally, but then be overwhelmed tomorrow because of something you heard or how you feel. I was with my friend yesterday, and he was like, "Man, how you doing?" He goes, "Oh, my knee is killing me." And he was miserable. Here's the good news. God never changes. He is our fortress, He is our shelter, and He is our true refuge. And I'm going to give you some biblical examples. Do you remember the story of Job? You know what his environment was like? I got to get near the microphone, I'm sorry. Job, his environment was wealth, family, and health. But we know the story, right? It was all taken away. Guess what Job says? Job 13:15, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, though will I trust him." How about King David's environment? Think about King David. He was often living in caves, living in the desert, being pursued by his enemies. Yet he wrote, "The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress." Or what about the Apostle Paul? His life or in his environment included prison, friends deserting him, beatings, and shipwreck. But he wrote, "I have learned to be content. I can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens me." The saints of old, their security was not in their environment, it was in God. And that's what our verse is teaching us this morning. Our safety is not in the absence of danger. Our security is who we run to when danger comes. Don't run to the things of this world. Don't run to your savings account. Don't run to your parents and your friends, but run to the Father. We'll continue to go on. God's promises are grounded in his character and also his nature, not in our situations. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." See, God's trustworthiness is not based on how well things are going for us. It's based on his unchanging, faithful nature. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And for the believer, that is awesome news. Because his promises don't rise and fall with our emotions. They're not based on whether our circumstances feel hopeful or heavy. They are grounded in who God is for the Christian. But that verse, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. For the unbeliever, that should cause you to tremble. Because God's word says that he is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only life to the Father. There's no other way. There's no other religion that leads you to God. It will lead you to death and hell and destruction. And God's word says that he will be faithful. So if you reject him, you deny him, he will deny you. And like those who are believers, we don't know when wars and calamity is going to hit us. You as a person who doesn't believe, you don't know today's your last day on this earth. You don't know if you're going to be in a car accident. And if you haven't bowed your knee to the Lord, I implore you, I plead with you, reconcile yourself to God. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you in your place. And it's a free gift. And all you got to say, "Lord, please save me." And he will save you. But for the believer, again, our promises, his promises don't rise and fall with our emotions. Let me illustrate it like this. Imagine you're at sea. And you're in a boat, right? This little boat. The wind is howling. The waves are crashing all over you. And everything around you feels unstable. But far off in the distance, you see a light. And it's stable. It's not moving. It's not being tossed and to and fro like you are on the boat. It doesn't sway. It doesn't move. Why doesn't that light move? Well, because it's not built on the water. It's built on the solid rock. And that's what God is like. His faithfulness doesn't shake when our world does. His promises don't change when our circumstances get hard. He is steady. He is unchanging. He is always faithful because he cannot deny himself. He is faithful even when we are faithless because he cannot deny himself. His trustworthiness isn't rooted and how things are going for us. It's rooted in his unchanging perfection of who he is. Jesus taught us not to place our confidence in circumstances. On the night in which he was betrayed, in John chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples in 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome this world." That's Jesus. Security isn't the absence of trouble, but it's in Christ's victory over trouble. Take heart, he says. In this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome this world. In short, Scripture teaches us and redirects our confidence away from how we feel and what we see, and we anchor it in who God is. God is love, faithful, sovereign, good, powerful, near, and unchanging. And that's just looking at the first word. He is our refuge. Now let's look at the second thing God says about himself. God's protection has no boundaries. It's limitless. It never fails because God is not only our refuge, he is our strength. This means that God doesn't just give us courage to carry on, even though that happens. It means that he becomes our strength when we have nothing left. God becomes our strength when we have nothing left. Right? The earth has given way. The mountains are falling. The water roars and foams. It's terrifying. And he's describing an earthquake here, right? In verses 3 and 4. This is crazy earthquake, and it's terrifying. Why? Because when the earth beneath you starts to shake and starts to move, there's nothing left to stand on. You know, it's funny. We think about typhoons and hurricanes and floods and tornadoes. You know what? There are seasons for these things. There's a hurricane season. There's a typhoon season. There's signs in the sky. We have radars and we have information to tell you, hey, we need to be careful. You need to move. There's warning and all these other natural disasters. But with the earthquake, you can't plan on it. You can't fight it. You can't run from it. You can't control it. Everything stable gives way. And that's the point. When everything else collapses, God still stands. Your strength may fail, but his never will. And beloved, there is no earthquake that we will ever face, natural, emotional, relational, spiritual, that will shake us out of the hands of our great God and Savior. There's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And I just got to read that text. It's this. The promises are so true. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your strength may fail, but His never will. And it reminds me of that song we sang earlier, Solid Rock. And I love the verse, when all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. He is our refuge and He is our strength. And lastly, God's protection has no boundaries. It's limitless. It never fails because God is a very present help in our troubles. He's a very present help. What does that mean? It means that God is not just powerful, He's near. It doesn't just mean God is somewhere nearby. It means He is intensely close. He is immediately available. He is personally involved. He is as close. He is closer than our next breath. Especially in the moments of pain, trials, and suffering. And especially when we are hurting. And we know that God is omnipresent, that God is everywhere. Psalm 139 says that there's nowhere we can go away from God's presence. We can go into the heavens, the earth, under the earth, and under the sea. God is there. And this is an essential truth. But the psalmist is talking about something different here. He's talking something more intimate. He's not just talking about the doctrine of God's presence. He's talking about the experience of it. Now, that might freak some people out. But we can experience God. And it's not just the truth that God is near, but the comfort of feeling His nearness in your pain. And I know many people here might be suffering, and you know what I'm talking about. But I can only testify of myself. 1 year, Andrew and I, we were in the Philippines, and I was in the Philippines, and I came home, and I got sick, and man, I was super sick, and I ended up catching, I got typhoid fever. And if you know anything about typhoid, it just wrecks your body. It's horrible. She went away to a women's retreat, and I was home, and my fever came back, and it hit me, and I think I had a temperature of 104 for 4 days. My head was throbbing. It was horrific. And I honestly and I even thought while I was in pain, I was laying on the couch and I was trying to put my head closer to the ground to try to relieve the pain. I felt no relief. I literally laid on that couch for 3 days with my head towards the ground. And I actually thought early on, if I had a weapon, a gun, I'd maybe take my life. It was that painful. But I was left alone, so I thought. But I just cried out to Jesus. Jesus. Father, help me. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I love You. I know You love me. And I just kept saying His name over and over and over and over and over again. It didn't relieve the pain. But when I look back at that time in my life, I can honestly say, I never felt so close to God than ever in my life. I could almost taste and feel His presence in my pain. And when I tell people this, like, I would never want to experience that pain again, but I do miss the intimate fellowship that I had with God as He was there in the midst of my suffering, holding me. Preserving me. And His strength became a testimony of His grace. It's like a child who runs into his father or his mother's arms when there's a storm and the lightning is flashing. The electricity goes out and he runs into his parents' room. Not because the storm is done. Because he's in the presence of his parents. He's in the presence of his father. That's what we're talking about. It's like when a child is at home and mom is at home and he falls and he cuts his leg or he does something and he cries out to mom and mom comes and she picks him up. That's a very present help in need. And that's what we're talking about. That's what God does. You experience it. When my boys were little, they would follow me everywhere. And they would never ask questions. They just had that childlike faith. I would take them to school on my motorcycle. And we were living in Cambodia. And if you know anything about Asia, it's crazy there. And you really are at your risk every time you get in a car. But I would put Judah in front of me. He would have his little helmet on. He would sit in my lap or kind of like in front. And Boaz would be behind me with his arms around my waist. And they just did it. They did not sense the fear because they were with Daddy. Judah can feel that his body was up against my chest. Boaz can feel his body up against my back. That's what we're talking about here. Now that they're older, they hesitate. But that early trust, that's the kind of trust that Psalm 46 is talking about. He's with us now. He's here. I remember I was in Thailand with my teammate, Darren Beck. We were in the Andaman Sea, and we did a scuba diving trip. We both got certified. He's really highly certified, and I become an advanced open water scuba diver, and it doesn't mean anything other than you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we were in this big boat, and we're going to do a deep sea dive. And we've done a similar deep sea dive, but this was like deep sea dive, 35 meters, 120 feet underground. I mean, under the water, 120 feet is deep. And I remember we all jumped into the water, and the boat was kind of, he's like, hey, you gotta go fast because the water's moving. So the boat drops us off and we go under, and I start going under, and I was one of the last guys to get off the boat. And as I'm going down, I look down and all I can see is darkness. I just see the abyss. And my breathing started getting shorter. I was breathing faster, and I'm descending, and I'm like looking. I don't see anyone. I don't see anyone around me. And I start kind of like panicking. I get anxious, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go up. I'm going to go up. And if you know anything about scuba diving, you can't go straight up because you'll get sick. And just as I was about to head up, the dive master grabs my shoulder, and he puts his arm on my shoulder, and he pulls himself in front of me. And he just looks at me in our mask, and he's like, look at me. You know, he's just kind of like, and then he's like, which means breathe. So I'm looking at him, and I'm breathing, and it was just like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm breathing. And then all of a sudden, he kind of says, and all of a sudden, I look, and we were at the bottom of the ocean. Man, he was a very present help in my need. And that's who God is. No matter what you're going through, He is there. He's not distant in our suffering. He draws near in a unique way, and He does it differently to everyone. God leans in. He listens. He holds us, and He helps us. And you can say, yeah, that sounds great, but these are all experiences. Yeah, you can experience God's nearness. But let me read scripture to you. Psalm 34:18 says this. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. What can mortals do to me? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love that. I love that verse in Isaiah. I am with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And my favorite one, as a missionary, this gives me strength. This gives me confidence. Because when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he said at the end of his words in Matthew 28:20, do all these things, right? Why? For behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, what's the application? God's protection has no boundaries. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help. And we can have confidence and certainty of God's protection. This is the certainty that God will stay true to who he is. He is today who he was yesterday, who he will be tomorrow. Therefore, we will never find ourselves in a place where we are too far, where the Lord cannot find us. And no matter the strength of the wind, no matter the magnitude of the earthquake, no matter the tsunami of the waves that are crashing in on us, God's presence is with us always, at all times, continually, with no interruptions. God is with us always. And remember this, brothers and sisters. He is our refuge and our strength always. On days that are light, and on days that are darkness, on days of conflict and days of victory, on days of plenty and days of lacking, and on days of strength and on many days of weakness. He is with us because God never changes. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us. And today you may be in a season where everything feels dark and uncertain. You may not be feeling strong today. You may not even feel safe. But you're not alone. God doesn't send strength from a distance. He steps into our trouble. He is with us through the fire, through the flood, in the silence, in the waiting. In fact, Jesus says he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Open your heart that I may come in and sup with you. So here's the question. So instead of asking, where is God in this? Let this truth shape your heart. He is here. He is close. He is your very present help in your troubles. Let's pray. Lord, we learn from just one verse in Psalm 46. It is so deep. Lord, it is beyond we can even talk about this morning. But we know, Lord, that you are our refuge. You are where we shelter. You are our strength. You hold us when we are weak. And Lord, you are our very present help, especially when we feel alone. So Lord, we know when this world starts feeling like it's falling apart and the ground starts to shake, help our hearts to remember you, to trust you. to look to you and to remember that we don't need to be strong enough. We just need to be close to you, for you are the one who is. We praise you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.